Mark 9, 38-50 follows on from the pericope from last week actually quite well. In fact, you have to read the two together because the paragraph 33-38 in chapter 9 discusses receiving, welcoming, serving one another. And the first thing that happens immediately after Jesus called to serve one another, welcome one another, receive one another, John wants to not serve somebody. Verse 38. John says to him, not often you get John speaking by himself, interestingly. I think it might be the only time in Mark. Teacher, we saw somebody in your name casting out demons, and we stopped him. Why? No, you got the wrong text. That's actually a textual variant, which we're not going to talk about because it's wrong. That's the majority text. What edition? Well, it doesn't matter. Hatiuk ekolothe humin. All right, because he was not following us. Now, this is an interesting phrase. What's going on here? You got to recall this dispute in chapter 3 where where the Pharisees accused Jesus of being in league with Beelzebul or by the power of Satan, he's casting out Satan, sort of a thing. And Jesus says, well, you got it wrong. Why would Satan cast out Satan? Here you got somebody, it's the exact same situation. It's not Jesus casting out Satan, but somebody in Jesus' name casting out Satan. So this seems to be exactly the same thing. The disciples, however, want to stop him. And I think the real key is, in fact, the ekoluthe amen. Because he is not following us. See, what is Jesus called to discipleship? It's always follow me. It is never follow in my little club. Okay? And the disciples here have confused us and Jesus as if they have Jesus figured out already by this point. So where Jesus goes from here is to clarify that following him in fact involves serving one another. And it's really just a follow upon from the previous pericope. Well, how does he explain this then? Jesus said, do not stop him, do not hinder him. For no one who does dunamen here is a miracle, power, same phrase again next, does power by my name also will not be able, that's from dunamai, future, will not be able quickly to speak evil against me. So if he's working for me, he's not in league with Satan. Sort of the same point he made in chapter 3. You can't stop him because he's doing this in my name. Sort of an interesting issue. You don't get very many references of people. Well, in fact, this might be the only one in the Gospels of somebody besides Jesus doing miracles, apart from the sending out of the 70 or the 72, depending on the text variant, elsewhere in, you get that in Luke and Matthew. And the disciples themselves do this in Mark, 6? So this is unusual. You know, does Jesus have other followers? Must be something going on here. The point Jesus makes, however, is my kingdom is not limited to you. You don't pick and choose who you serve in the kingdom. You serve everybody. And so he says, verse 40, Huskar uk estin kathimon, huperimon estin. For whoever is not against us is on our behalf or is for us. Now this is sort of a problem, because if you look in the margin, you see Matthew 12:30, and there Matthew actually says sort of the opposite. Whoever is not for us is against us. What you got to keep in mind is in Matthew, the opposite of being for Jesus is sort of being neutral. It's not being an enemy of Jesus. So Matthew's point is, or Jesus' point in Matthew is, you can't be neutral, you got to follow me. Whereas in Mark, the opposite is somebody who was speaking for Jesus and somebody who was kakalegao, somebody who was speaking against Jesus. So you're one or the other, and there's no sort of middle ground. And so Jesus' point in this context is, he's not opposed to me. He's not saying I'm casting out Beelzebul by Beelzebul. He's not cursing me. Therefore, he must be on my side. So you have to understand the context. It's not a question of sort of lukewarm versus really following. It's either following or cursing. Okay. Now the real point comes in verse 41. I'm not sure in a homily if you want to talk about. I suppose you can make some points about how we often view ourselves as the only people on earth who actually follow Jesus. But the real point of this pericope is, of course, what that means then for how we serve one another. So I wouldn't make that the only point, but it's a sub-point from the pericope here. The real point Jesus is making is now go ahead and do everything you need to do to serve that other person. So 41, hoskar an potisse humas potera anudatos and anamati hata Christu esta. Hos, in the indefinite relative here, on the particle of uncertainty, whoever, yeah, potizo is one of those verbs, you have to sort of translate it, gives to drink, something like that. Whoever gives you to drink a poterion pudatos, a cup of water, in the name, interestingly, because you are of Christ, notice you're being served because you are a follower of Christ. Truly, amen legomen, hati ume apolise ton mistan autu. Truly I say to you that ume, the strong negative plus the subjunctive, will in no way lose his reward. Okay. So instead of stopping this guy from serving others, what should you have done? You should have helped him out. Right? Give him a cup of cold water so he can cast out more demons so his throat doesn't get dry while he's doing it or something. Don't stop the work of my name, the work of my kingdom. Serve and support those who do that work. So he turns the tables around on him here. Then 42, he really sticks it to the disciples. Kai has an scandalise hena ton makron titon ton pistuanton asimet. Here's this hosan again. Whoever scandalizes one of these little ones who believe in me. Now, scandalizo here, we got to remember, is not the American scandalize. Right? Scandalize is sort of our perception of something that we don't like, so we're, you know, it's scandalous. You know, Tom Cruise is scandalous or whatever, you know, something silly like that. In the Gospels, and well, in Paul as well, in the New Testament, scandalizo is lead into sin. Okay, lead away from Christ. So Jesus talks about himself as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You fall over this stone, other people are crushed by it. It's rejection of Jesus or leading somebody away from Jesus here if you've got an object. So whoever scandalizes, whoever leads away from me, one of these little ones who believe in me. Now, this ton makron is an interesting word here. If we were in Matthew, there'd really be no question that we're talking about Christians and not about kids. That little ones is a reference to followers of Jesus and not an age reference to little kids. The context here, however, if you recall from verse 33, 34, 35 there, he takes a little child and takes him in his arms. So you do have an immediate context, at least the child here. Nonetheless, I think it's probably broader than just a warning against not leading children into sin. It's more likely a warning against leading other Christians into sin, which is exactly what they were trying to do earlier by stopping somebody from doing the work of Jesus. Okay. So, if you do this, if you lead one who follows me into sin, if you lead them away from me, kalon espinalto malon e perikaitai mulas anakos periton trekalon autu kaibeblitai e stain thalasan. It is good to him, rather, in English you have to sort of say is better. Kalon is the regular form, it's not the comparative, but you have to make it a comparative. It is better to him if, this is great, periketai is from perikemai, lie around, and then you got the three again, around his neck. What do you put around somebody's neck? En mulas anikos. Anikos is the millstone, and a mulas is a donkey. So it's the really big millstone. It's not the kind that you do by hand. It's the kind you need a donkey to push around. Okay? So it's a donkey millstone. And if that's around your neck, and you're followed, cast into the sea, you ain't going to get up again. Okay? Maybe a little handmill you can swim up with or something, but you got a donkey millstone around your neck, and you're stuck on the bottom. Okay? Interesting phrase there. Strong statement, and actually the next several statements are going to be pretty strong in all this. And what Jesus is emphasizing again is, don't lead people away from me. Don't lead people into sin. I'm going to go over this quickly. I'm just going to read verse 43, because it sort of repeats itself. It's all parallel. If your hand scandalizes you, causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter one-handed into life than having two hands to go away into Gehenna, into the fire of asbestos, which we don't like anymore, right? We get sued for that, so it's an unquenchable fire. That's where asbestos comes from. Notice there's no verse 44, nor is there a verse 46. Some manuscripts inserted verse 48. Also after 43 and 45, it's not a big deal. It's all at the end. Notice the little shift here, though. In 42, it's pretty clearly causing somebody else to sin. Here, it's causing you to sin. I wouldn't, however, take this apart from that it's merely sort of me doing something wrong. Again, because the context here, especially in verse 50, shows that this is serving one another rather than leading others astray. So it's not merely don't sin. It also includes, necessarily includes here, don't lead others into sin. 45, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. One foot, we can skip over that. 47, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Very graphic image. It is better, this is a great word, monophthalmon in 47. One-eyed. They actually have a word for this. One-eyed to come into the kingdom of God, than having two eyes to be cast into Gehenna. And now verse 48, from Isaiah, as you see in the margin, where their worm does not stop and the fire is not quenched. What a graphic image. It's a place you don't want to go. Right? So here again is your two alternatives. You either follow, and you follow faithfully, you follow completely, you serve one another, or you're not. And what's the consequences of not following? Well, you're separated from Christ forever. So you want to do everything necessary to avoid that from happening, so you lop off limbs if necessary. Now, of course, we're too cultured and advanced to think of this very concretely. We have to spiritualize it. I wonder, though, if we over-spiritualize it a little too much. Of course, we'd all be, like the guy on Monty Python at the bridge, merely a flesh wound if we took this into practice seriously. Right? There's a meaning of, the Holy Grail. Where he gets his arms cut off, his legs cut off, I'll bite you to death. I'll skip it. Anyway. That's not what you, of course, if you cut all your limbs off, how are you going to serve one another? It's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Jesus' point is, following entails everything. In fact, this echoes back to what he said at the end of chapter 8. Whoever wants to save his life is going to lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. So the same sort of thing going on here. Here, though, specific to serving one another, which we get in 49 and 50. 49, huge textual variant. I wish we had time to talk about this. For everything by fire will be salted. Now, what the heck does that mean? If you look down at your textual apparatus, some manuscripts pick up on Leviticus and say every sacrifice by salt will be salted. Some manuscripts say every sacrifice by salt will be salted and everything by fire will be salted. So take your pick. There's about six different ways you can read it. What is going on here probably is the Puri fire by fire for referencing a cleansing aspect Either you're going to do the cleansing yourself or God's going to do it to you. So take your choice. It's going to be fire, seasoned by fire. Verse 50, salt is good, but if salt becomes salt becomes unsalted or saltless, it's an odd way to say it, by what will it be seasoned? So you can't flavor salt. Salt flavors something else, right? So if it's not flavoring something, what good is it? Right? It is no longer good for anything except to be trampled upon by men, is what the Sermon on the Mount continues with. Jesus' point here is, if you're not salt, if you're not seasoning, if you're not making a difference, because you are of me, you are worthless. You're of no value. You can't be salted. You're just done. Thrown out. Cast into the bottom of the sea. Whatever. Doesn't matter what happens. The conclusion. Have salt. And we've got to get this right. En-hau-tois. Ekata en-hau-tois. Is not have salt in yourselves, like individually, personally. But have salt among yourselves. That this is a community thing. You serve one another, and that's exactly the next clause, kai erenoita en allelois, and be at peace among one another. So he's hearkening back to 38 here, where the disciples stopped the other disciple, right? Instead of stopping, have peace, encourage one another, give one another a cup of cold water, don't lead someone into sin. So this frames the whole section there of 42 to 48. And again, as I said before, it's not so much, you know, don't sin, you know, kind of thing, like keep the Ten Commandments and everything's going to be okay. If you're not keeping the Ten Commandments, chop your fingers off sort of a thing, you know, kind of a Middle Eastern law sort of a thing here. Rather, the point is, if you are not serving one another, you are, well, you're not helping them. And in the case of the disciples here, in fact, in verse 38, leading them away from Christ. Leading somebody away from the benefits of the kingdom. They still got the demon in them. Right? What's the call here? The call is to serve one another. The same call we had in 33 to 37. And we're going to get this again at the end of chapter 10. So following Jesus in this section, end of 8, 9, 10, is not just sort of some kind of a monastic piety, I preserve myself from the evils of the world kind of thing, but the call to follow Jesus is self-sacrifice. Whatever I need to give up to follow Jesus, I give up. And the goal of that is not mere sort of perfection sort of a thing, for my own sake, but for the good of my brother. To build my brother up, so that they can follow, so that they can serve, so that the kingdom be extended. And I think we should avoid taking this pericope as sort of a call to monasticism or something, or call to asceticism, and read it instead as a positive, that this is a call to serve one another in love, to be at peace with one another, to encourage one another. And that's what following Jesus is all about. And then you can go to Paul and find out a lot more about that.